Greetings and welcome to
Two
Filthy
Nerds,
because we're filthy
and we're nerds,
and there's uno dose of us.
That's two. So there you go. That's everything.
And you're welcome, because today we are dressed exactly alike and we did not plan this.
Yes. So if you want to go check out our YouTube channel, look up Two Filthy Nerds. You can see us in the same shirt.
We look like very fraternal twins.
Extremely fraternal twins.
Extremely, extremely, extremely fraternal non-twins.
I am the twin she tried to eat and I somehow survived.
She was, what's it called? A conjoined twin. She was my conjoined twin.
I lived on your
She
head.
Was my tumor. She yes. was a conjoined twin tumor.
And I freed myself.
We got her off.
Now
we used some boric acid. And I don't think boric acid is abrasive enough to get a growth off.
Person growth?
Can I just refer to you as a growth spurt?
I am a growth spurt. I'm a growth squirt. Listen, you guys.
We got a lot to do today. We're gonna do a little bitching.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna get into some Harry Potter shite.
So skip ahead if you don't give a fuck about what we have to say about non-Harry Potter stuff. And if not, we're talking about billionaires.
Billionaires!
Do we like them?
Do we hate them? Do we resent them? I mean,
I feel like I hate them, and part of that is resentment, sure,
yeah.
I guess, that they don't have to worry about anything, that they have so much money that they can no longer relate to basic humans.
Yeah. They could literally solve world problems. All of them could solve all of the world problems.
Here's the thing, is that, like, I don't think that there shouldn't be billionaires. Like, that it's like, if you made something that made you $1 billion,
yeah,
fine.
Totally.
I think we should tax billionaires fairly, proportionately. And also, if you have that much money, why wouldn't you want to fucking help? The thing is there are people who have enough money to, like you said, fix the world hunger problem and still have way more money than any of us will ever have.
Yeah.
Like, so much fucking
You're
money.
You're fucking fine.
Yeah.
Give the world, give back a little bit. It's just, to me, it's like Jeff Bezos. Did you invent and create one of the greatest companies in this world? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, no, and it's been very helpful for us.
Do I use Amazon all the time? Shamefully, yes. Sorry, I get free delivery all the goddamn time, and I get my shit the next day. And I've become accustomed to that, and call me a horrible person. That is a luxury I have grown to love.
Yeah.
And until you have another company, I'll give another billionaire money. But for now, Jeff Bezos, you're fucking welcome. With that said, there are a lot of people who are in dire straits financially right now who've spent a great deal of money on Amazon. I don't understand why Jeff Bezos somewhere in his head is like, gee, you know what would be really great customer service is if I took care of all the people in the world who've benefited from the thing I created, and I have benefited from all the fucking money that they have dumped into me.
I'm sorry, was this topic just a way for you to create a podcast to tell Jeff Bezos that you deserve a stimulus check for using Amazon?
Yes, it was. Jeff Bezos, if you're listening, I went to college with his niece. When I was in college, I'm so young, so it wasn't that long ago. You know, Amazon was like just blowing up.
Wow.
Really just starting to take over.
Yeah, remember when Amazon was just
books.
Just textbooks.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where people went for textbooks. Uh-huh. It was the textbook thing.
It was books. And then I think they started selling like DVDs, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what came next.
No, I think they did digital music. You could buy it.
Oh yeah, Amazon Music. It just like slowly built into
the beast that it is.
Yeah, this place where it's a fucking superstore.
But
it's
like, who's
it's
doing
Walmart
it,
on the internet?
Who's doing it better?
I mean, literally nobody, and that's why they're doing so well. And I think if you've come up with something that is benefiting a society, and you know people are utilizing it, we live in a capitalist society. You deserve to make money.
Yeah, also, he didn't make the system.
What do you mean he didn't make
the system? He didn't make the system that created him a
billionaire. Like, as far as the tech and behind
it,
the idea?
No. He didn't make the system, that allows someone in our country to become
capitalism.
A billionaire. Capitalism. Like, he didn't make, he didn't write the laws. He didn't write the rules. Like, he got there because, you know,
he came up with something that we all wanted.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think everyone should have a basic amount of care. I I think we have enough money in our country between billionaires, between people, that we could tax the 1% and everyone could have a basic standard income to supplement if they work at a job that is barely paying their bills, paying their bills, if they haven't been fortunate enough to come up with an idea, which, by the way, not just the idea, already have the resources to get the people involved you need to take it from idea to fruition.
Yep.
And still allow, like, that we could do both.
Yeah.
You could take care of the poorest people and still do well for yourself. But also, and maybe I'm in the minority of this as far as people in America, and because we're in a fucking capitalist society that teaches you to value money, but, like, I think having billions of dollars is gross. If you're giving it away at a huge rate and helping everyone you can, and you just are making so much money, you keep making it, fine.
What?
If you're fucking looking for loopholes and you're not really helping people out and you're just hoarding money, for what?
But what do you do? You can't die with it.
No, I mean, you will die. You can't take it with you. And it's like, what? I guess I get, like, we don't know what the world's going to be like. I need to stock up for generational
wealth. I assure you,
wealth.
No matter what happens in this world with your bazillions, 10 generations from now, you'll still be fine. Everybody will still be fine.
It's just...
I would think that... I'm just going to keep using Jeff Bezos. I would think Jeff Bezos would want to spend the money to fix homelessness wherever in the world, everywhere. Let's just say the United States. If Jeff Bezos spent the money to fix homelessness in the United States, that is a whole bunch of people who are going to be in better standing to use his product.
Yeah. Then you're like, oh, I don't have to worry about a roof over my head.
Oh, now I can start spending money. Oh, I have money. I am going to spend money.
When, where are they going to go? It's like, yeah, no, where would they go first for their shopping? Oh, the place that funded the fact that I now have housing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Jeff Bezos, who took care of me. Wow, sir. I love you so much. Jeff Bezos, do you realize how much everyone would fucking love you?
Yeah.
And everybody would be like, Amazon's the greatest thing ever, because we know that when we spend our money on Amazon, we in some way are helping homelessness.
I mean,
it's a win-win.
It's just fucking, I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts about people even being billionaires?
I mean, it's just billionaires?
That's so much money.
A million millions?
Like, the thing is that, like, somebody told this to me, and I can't even remember who. They framed it like this, though, that, like, when you have that much money, you're at such a different level of functioning as far as, you know, where you're at societally, because your fucking hierarchy of needs is met. You're done.
Yeah.
You no longer can, you become distanced from regular society as far as who you can relate to. And that's when people at that level stop viewing people at our level as humans. It's the way that people go, and I'm paraphrasing from something somebody else told me, but that you can go like, I shouldn't eat so much meat. The animals, it's not really fair, but, like, I love cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, it is really sad that people are so poor, but I love having mansions around the world. So what are you gonna do?
That is a really interesting analogy.
That they, like, look at poor humans now as cats. They just can't relate
to. I never even thought of how the 1% of the 1%, who are the billionaires, how the 1% of the 1% perceive other people.
Regular
I never
people.
Even thought how, like,
well, and it's just
so crazy.
The whole, like, money thing, it's so deep in our society to view having money and it, like, as a sense of having worth. Like, we attach someone having money as being a better person than us. Like, it affects our self-worth. Or there's people who get money and then they suddenly think they're better than people.
Oh,
I mean,
the nouveau riche.
Oh, yeah. I know people who just are like, oh my God, she's so poor. Oh, I don't even go downtown. There's homeless people.
Or,
like,
they wear all the labels, so you know that they've got money.
Let me let you know that I have money. And it's like, you know what you could have done with the money you spent? Just have a fucking Louis Vuitton bag? Yeah.
You could have bought a sensible bag and then maybe helped a human being out have lunch.
Yeah. You fucking help someone with their shit.
Like that money that you didn't spend on a bag, that you just bought a regular normal bag, and that extra money could literally feed maybe a homeless shelter for a week.
But then comes in the argument, and this isn't necessarily
why should they have
argument,
to?
Why, because someone made money, do they have to care about other people?
Yeah.
And realistically, if you break it down, they don't.
They don't.
But But why don't you care about other people?
But I think it's interesting that, like,
we should be teaching people the importance of caring for each other instead of the importance of making as much money as
you. Yeah. We should teach people the taking care of one another, and that when you can value money, but you have to value money in the sense of how it can benefit all of us.
All of us. That it's like, yeah, because the quote American dream is we teach people work as hard as you can. And if you work hard enough and get lucky, and most likely you have to be born from a family that has already gotten more lucky.
You have to start on second base.
Yeah. Then one day you'll be able to spit on the people around you and not give a shit about if people are dying.
Like, and just climb on their backs to an even higher point.
Just run over a pile of homeless people in your G-Wagon. And like, that's...
And then you just get a custom like sled thing on the front with a pointy tip that just like repels the homeless people. So you don't even dent your car.
It's just like, don't even have to look at them.
It's so quick. They're just both sides.
Like, it just shocks me that someone could drive a car that costs more than $100,000, less than that, truly, but like $100,000 car through the streets of a city where people are dying on the streets.
Dying.
And just be like, isn't my fucking, look how cool my car is. Oh my God, I'm so, just to like let other rich people know that I'm one of you. Please accept me into your fucking club.
That is something I've always like, you know, my mom's a doctor. She did well for herself. She's a self-made woman.
Yeah. She's a badass.
She grew up very poor, and now she has money and she loves her fucking money. And I was always so like ashamed, and like, it made me so self-conscious that my mom loved money so much. Cause I was just like, I looked at him like, oh, you're so materialistic. You're so shallow. And I didn't realize how poor my mom was growing up.
She never had anything.
Until she drove me past the house she grew up in. This was just a few years ago.
I was only on 1 acre.
It was just a half of acre. You could see the neighbors. You couldn't hear them. You could see them.
Bedrooms. The den, it was so musty.
Oh, and you know what you could do in the den? You could only watch TV. The sofa wasn't even big enough to sleep on.
They only had 2 televisions in the whole house.
2 tellies.
No. Sorry,
I mean, she fucking grew up in a box, like a very, very, very small house. And I was like, oh wow, no shit. Like, and then all of a sudden it became clear to me why my mom was way she is.
Because like, if you had to work hard, and it was like your mom had to claw her way to the top, essentially.
I
mean, she was the first woman to graduate from
Michigan State's
medical school.
And a Jewish woman. Experienced persecution for being Jewish, persecution for being a woman.
So the thing is that I think people don't take into account when they go, why doesn't everyone help anyone? Is that a lot of those people who are self-made probably go, well, nobody fucking helped me.
Yeah. Why should I help anyone when not one person gave me a handout?
Even though, you know, we would obviously all like to believe people would be more altruistic than the people who came before them. You know, we want to believe that like, no one helped me, but I got here. I'm not going to be like the people that didn't help me. I'm going to help everyone who's coming up behind me.
Yeah.
People don't. And they have fucking reasons for it. Like, that's a hard thing to crack. You don't know someone's trauma.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse Jeff Bezos from not sending us a personal check in the mail.
Jeff Bezos, this rant is specifically for you. Find us at Nicole Amy.
At JMS Comedy.
At 2 Filthy Nerds.
Just send us a check.
Just hit us up. I know this is going to sound crazy, but we have an Amazon wish list.
If you could just send us the whole wish list, that'd be great.
Just knock that wish list out real quick.
Go ahead. And if anyone else wants to send us stuff from our wish list, head over to our Instagram and it's in the link tree.
Let's talk really quick about your wish list now that we're on Amazon. Your personal wish list.
Your personal wish list?
What's on your personal wish list right now?
Stupid shit.
I know, but like name one thing that you would want off it. But I can't even remember what's on my wish list.
Me neither.
A moisturizer.
I need to go back.
Drunk Elephant moisturizer.
What I need to go back and do is delete most of my wish list because it's a lot of sequined jackets and things that
I love how you're like, I'm done with that phase. Bitch, the second we get out of quarantine,
I haven't updated the list.
Your pussy.
Oh, you think I haven't already bedazzled my pussy? I've got a lot of time. We're in quarantine. What do you think I did with all the sequins I was throwing out? No, I like jackets like that for stage, and some people think it's obnoxious, but I don't care. I'm obnoxious. But now that I'm like not going on stage, or I'm like, maybe I'm obnoxious enough that I don't need the jacket.
No, you know what I think you need now? I think you need homewares.
Homewares?
Homewares, like stuff for the home.
You mean onesies?
No, like, you know, throw pillows.
I have throw pillows. I stole them.
Yeah. She didn't steal them from a store. She
stole them.
Her old roommate left them behind. So it was a come up.
Yeah. And I ordered these beautiful covers off where? Amazon.
Why?
Am I part
because
of the
problem? Delivery time frame was what? The fucking next day.
I want to help local businesses, but not if it takes me 3 weeks to get my belongings.
Oh, you want to know what happened? I ordered from a local business.
First world
that I
problems.
Found on Instagram. Oh, and guess what? It delivered from China. So local business, my fucking cunt.
It's hard.
And you
want to
know how long it took?
I
ordered it. Middle of March when the quarantine first began, and I got it a month ago.
Ew. Hmm? Well, that's not a local business.
So, yeah. Guess what? I'm ordering from Amazon.
I do try to go, like, if I see something on Amazon, I try to go, let me at least go to the company's website. Let me Google and see if they are selling it directly.
Yeah. And they're charging more, including shipping.
And I use smile.amazon.com. Do you use that?
Yeah. Where you contribute to a...
Where, like, a penny goes to whatever the
charity you want. Yeah,
mine
that's what I do.
Happens to be Special Olympics.
Mine is something animal related.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, yeah. Look, I don't know. It's disheartening to see so much disparity and think that there's people with that much money who don't... I just, you know, there's no obligation for someone to help you just because they've made money.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, being in a position where you don't have that much money and you're like, I would love to help, but I'm barely helping myself. It's just a bummer that someone could have so much money and not go, wow, what a gift I have that I could really help people. Mm-hmm. You grew up and became a billionaire and you have the opportunity to be the guy that ends world hunger.
Yeah. You'll go down in history for inventing Amazon. You for sure will.
And you're like...
But you can also go down in history for saving the fucking day.
Ending the homeless
of everyone.
Crisis. Fucking send everyone a mask for fuck's sake.
I don't
sake.
Know why you want to get to Mars when you can just make Earth fucking dope.
No, because I think all the billionaires are like, Earth has probably got not that long left. We got to figure out how to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what I think, is that it's like, why is Elon Musk getting... Millions? Billions?
Millions.
In subsidies from the government? Oh, because they're like, we've got to figure out how the fuck to occupy another planet because we're humans and we're fucking stupid and we've ruined this one.
And also, I feel like Elon Musk has figured out how to do things that the U.S. government is like, we can never figure that out.
We never figured that out.
What? How do you? No, you did that. That's
when
crazy.
It's like, I guess good for him that it's like, yeah, take the government's money. But also, could you got the government's ear. Could you be like, hey, maybe a little less money going to the fucking Pentagon while you don't have unemployment insurance for people in a fucking pandemic.
Yeah. Are we getting the $600 a week canceled? Is that done now?
It ended today. It's done. And I don't know what they're doing to restart it. But I know that if something doesn't happen, we will be sending this podcast from outside a dumpster soon.
Yeah.
At least
outside the dumpster. Well, in the dumpster.
Depends on the lighting. But
true.
Anyway, I think that's it for our rant.
All right, guys.
Billionaires, give everyone money. We'll be right back.
Bye.
All right. We are on chapter 21.
The House Elf Liberation Front.
Health.
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 Okay. So.
So we ended chapter 20.
Let's
Harry won. Harry won his task. What?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, do we need to pause? I forgot on chapter 20.
Anyways, chapter 20 is Harry
Ho
won.
Just
Harry,
fucking
Harry beat his task and crushed it. Okay.
Ron's back in his life. Great.
Ron's back in his life. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. This chapter starts off with Harry's like, I should tell Sirius what happened with my task.
Of
Let
course.
Him know I made it. Blah, blah, blah.
Ron, as we touched on, he agrees that he's like, oh yeah, my bad. Someone clearly is trying
to
kill
somebody
you.
Definitely
like,
wants you dead.
Definitely happening.
So Ron very kindly lends Harry Pigwidgeon.
Oh, because
to deliver the letter to Sirius, because
know,
Harry's bird is too much of a looker.
Too hot.
Too hot to handle.
Yeah. She's just,
she hits the sky and just everybody's like, who's that lady? Who's that lady?
I was hooting.
Oh,
who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
I'm upsetting the dogs.
No. The dogs are like,
all of
God,
the dogs are
stop.
So upset. Anyway,
so Pigwidgeon takes the letter. Oh, I love that Pigwidgeon like got pulled over by the size of the letter.
Oh, yeah. She's so excited. Or he or she? I don't know what it is. Pigwidgeon. They. goes out the window and drops because the letter's so,
so heavy.
Long. Because, of course, Harry's giving him a play-by-play of what happened. Because it's like, dude, I'm fucking...
Yeah, Harry's not only like, just to keep you updated, I did not die. Also, I'm a fucking G.
How fucking cool is this, bro? God daddy.
He's like, God daddy, be proud of me.
God daddy, love me.
God daddy, be my daddy.
Serious, we love you.
Anywho, so then they go back to the Gryffindor, the common room.
Yeah.
And shit's going off again.
Oh yeah.
Cause Harry won.
I mean, so people are fucking losing it.
Losing it. It's like a frat party.
Butter
bitches are getting fingered.
Yeah. No.
Butterbeer's getting poured on titties.
Colin Creevy's being hazed.
People are doing butterbeer keg stands. Colin Creevy's getting hazed for sure. He's just sitting there in a diaper with a pacifier. That didn't happen. But you get the picture.
You get the idea.
So Harry comes in and he has his golden egg and he opens it.
Yeah, everyone's like, you gotta open it, And of course, except Hermione's like, you're supposed to do it on your own. Yeah. You're a fucking cunt.
She's just such a party pooper.
Can you just chill?
Like, listen, you're gonna save the day again, Hermione.
Lighten up.
Relax. But like, let the dude have some fun with his golden egg.
He opens his golden egg.
And out comes a horrible noise.
Just
probably very reminiscent of my shrill, nagging, Jewy voice.
It's a scream. It's a horrible, ear-piercing scream. Which
the dogs are not happy.
We
right
hear
now.
All the time around here. If Nicole is even a tiny bit upset,
I am. It is not a good thing. She heard me fighting on the phone the other day,
and I was like,
upstairs.
I'll be honest with you.
That was horrible.
I was like, have you taken steroids or something? I'm very scared. I was like, I mean, you were really letting loose there.
Yeah, I was mean.
And this was not even a customer service call.
Oh God, you should hear me on those. I Karen so hard.
I mean, I've seen it. It is.
It's crazy.
Vicious.
So
should be an unforgivable curse.
It is. I'm cursing them and myself. So Harry shuts the egg. At the party, Fred and George in true form slip Neville a
canary custard
that
canary
turns
cream.
Him into
an actual canary.
He's feathered. But he laughs about it.
Yeah.
He had a good sense of humor about it.
Well, I mean, what can you do? And then it's such a hit that they're like, if anyone wants to buy one, 7 sickles. So we know that they're still on their grind.
They're going to have a candy store eventually.
So I assume that's what, you know, all their, you know, ducking in corners and whispering is about, is trying new things. And
yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
They're fun.
They're fun guys.
They would be guys, like, they're so fun. And then a week, like 2 months into dating them, you'd be like, can you just be serious?
Yeah. Oh, I'd be fucking furious. Just sit still.
Is everything a fucking joke to you?
Oh, is everything a fucking joke to you would be our dying words if we dated them. What if we dated the twins together?
Oh my God, that'd be crazy. It'd be too many redheads. It's like you're enough.
Ugh, gross.
Do we need more gingers?
We don't need any at all. Care of Magical Creatures class is the next day.
Hagrid is still on his
Hagrid's
fucking
with the fucking Scroots. Everyone's terrified of the Scroots.
It's the worst.
While trying to wrangle the violent Scroots.
I mean, people have gone hiding. There's people hiding in the cabin because the Scroots are like 6 feet now and burning people and stinging them. Of course, who shows up?
Betsy Johnson.
Don't fucking call her Betsy
I'm sorry.
Johnson.
Rita Skeeter is the Betsy Johnson
Rita
of
Skeeter,
the wizard world.
You're implying that Betsy Johnson is out to sabotage the world.
No. She dresses like Betsy Johnson.
She has a pair of horn-rimmed glasses.
She's eccentric.
Right now, you are the Betsy Johnson of this podcast.
Fine. Put your glasses on.
I don't know where they are. I do, and they're just out of reach.
Your Rita Skeeter glasses. Go get your glasses.
Why? Why are we doing this?
Because those are Rita Skeeter glasses.
This is an audio podcast. Most of the people consuming this don't care what
Listen,
we look like.
Listen, you guys, go to our YouTube.
A lot of
our
them
YouTube.
Probably don't even know what
we put in
like.
A huge effort to
we
look
do.
Okay.
To look mediocre at best.
And by effort, we mean we get out of bed.
I didn't even wash my hair.
We set up a lighting situation.
Yeah. It's honestly
a
disservice to the amount of work we've done to create a Ravenclaw common room that I refuse to even make a little bit of effort in my appearance. All this, and then I come in looking
yes.
like a hurricane.
We've got books up. We've got yellow pillows. We've got blue in the background.
We have
a Hogwarts
shields that
what's
we
this? A penta,
one on a thing.
A pennant?
Pennant? Yeah, triangle flags.
Yeah, the triangle flag pennant.
We have Omega, the
crest.
Bird.
We have
was
Omega.
Handed down to me from my
We have a Ravenclaw
sister.
Fucking blanket, okay?
Yeah. Go to our YouTube.
And we're both wearing blue V-necks from American Apparel when they were going out of business.
Yeah, because you're out of your fucking mind if you thought I was supporting them at wholesale and normal prices. No wonder you went out of business, you fucking assholes. After we just raged against, like, pay fair wages.
I'm gonna be honest. I owe my entire wardrobe to American Apparel.
That checks out. It's kind of, like, boring.
Yeah.
Got him. She looks
nailed
sensible.
The bitch.
Not a sequin in sight.
Okay, so Rita shows up, and all of a sudden she's like showing this interest in Hagrid, and she's like, "Can I interview you?" And everybody's like, "What's the fucking deal? Why would she want to interview him?"
Nobody wants to go like, "Don't." She's a piece of shit. They're all thinking it, but nobody wants to just. Yeah, I wish she would have just come out and said it.
Yeah, they say everything at some point. I mean, protect Hagrid for the love of God.
I mean, have some fucking decency, but.
She even asked him, "Where'd you get these scroots from?" And then Hermione had to jump in before Hagrid said something wrong. Like,
well, because when they asked it, that immediately, obviously, Harry, Hermione, Ron all have the same thought of like, "Oh, where did he get these from?"
Yeah,
because he's been known to
very questionable places. He's been getting his magical creatures from.
Yeah, a lot of ominous, dark things.
Yeah,
places. I mean, he got a dragon egg from a man who fucking obviously was all a scam, but. A man in a fucking hood.
I've heard it.
Could you not fart?
Sorry.
You have diarrhea.
I'm on antibiotics.
Yeah, well, if you shart on my velvet couch, you're going to be on a lot more than antibiotics.
I have
going to
underwear on
you.
And pants, and there's a blanket. It's not going to hit your couch
if
right away.
If it even touches the Ravenclaw blanket.
The Ravenclaw blanket is on the back of it now.
It's the dog blanket?
The dog blanket, yeah.
Listen, if so much as a crumb...
Oh, escapes. Nothing's crummy right now.
No, a crumb or a run escapes onto my furniture and or garments.
A crumb or a run.
There will be hell to pay. I will Avada Kedavra you.
Okay, so next up, Hermione runs up to Harry and Ron. This is a little later. Runs up to Harry and Ron. Is like, you guys.
Oh, she's losing her shit. Like,
come quick.
Oh my God, you gotta fucking see this. Oh, she's going nuts. Oh, you're not gonna believe it. Oh,
and
shit.
And she brings them into the Hogwarts kitchen. And of course, they're like, okay, Hermione, you and this fucking elf thing, let it go.
Spew. Blah.
And she's like, no, you don't understand. Harry, look. And guess who it is?
It's Dobby.
Dobby, 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 Dobby. And guess who else?
Winky.
Who's
not looking as happy as Dobby? Dobby is stoked. So
Dobby is fucking... First of all, Dobby is wearing the sock that Harry gave him that got him the freedom.
That Malfoy snuck to Malfoy's father.
Lucius? Whatever.
Dickhead.
Fucking hot daddy. Smoldering.
I mean, he's no god daddy, but he's good. He's an attractive man.
Yeah, we're into it.
I think you're into it more because he is a piece of shit and you seem to have a type.
Yeah, I kind of do.
I'm looking at you, YouTube.
Please
anyway,
see our rant from the episode before.
Yeah, fucking Nicole is not happy with some men.
So
he's there. He's wearing the sock, but he's all mismatched. He loves clothes now. So he's like, oh, I've been collecting. He's got a tie and just he's wearing a tea cozy as a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so excited to see Harry.
So excited.
And he's like, you're not going to believe it. Like, oh, Dobby. He came to Hogwarts because he needed a job. And
your Dobby is
Dobby
so
said.
Good.
If you guys
it's
like.
So good.
If you guys want to hear more of my Dobby and more fun character voices, join our Patreon because we do live readings of all of the books.
And it's really fun, you guys. And sometimes I'll do reading, but unfortunately I'm.
Severely dyslexic.
And it is not good.
I've had to look over her shoulder and correct things, which...
A lot.
Which, do I like to do that? Yeah. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Absolutely.
I love standing over your shoulder
and
telling
occasionally
you
when she's reading, she'll get a word, a big word that she won't know, and she'll have to recruit me.
Dude, it's crazy because I thought I had a good vocabulary, and reading this book, some of it, it's words I don't know at all, and some of it's words I'm like, I haven't said this out loud in so long that I don't fucking remember
like
how to say
base.
It.
Like
bouillabaisse? Yeah.
Like you've said it before.
Of course. All the time. I'm constantly talking about it. Oh,
I love a good bouillabaisse.
I could really go for a bouillabaisse.
You know what I want for tonight for dinner?
Bouillabaisse.
Oh, of course, bouillabaisse. I love bouillabaisse. Oh, my husband, he makes a beautiful bouillabaisse.
So we do French accents. Right. And this book is crazy.
Southern accents. Our newest foray into the reading.
Oh, because Nicole decided to turn Hermione into a Southern.
She's a Southern girl. She's like, listen, right now, we are going to go downstairs and see these elves. She's and you're going to see Dobby. Okay. And Winky is not happy. Okay. Winky did not want her freedom. And I do not know why. I am doing my best to convince these elves
that what they need is free.
She's that what they need is freedom.
Turned Hermione into a young Kathy Bates character.
Yes.
And it's so grand. Mm-hmm. So patreon.com/twofilthynerds. If you want to get in on that, and we do movie watches, we do, we record our high teas with the live audience.
And if you join now soon, you can celebrate Harry Potter's birthday with us.
Yeah.
On July 31st, he's turning 40.
Yeah. We're going to watch Goblet of Fire as a unit.
Amazing. I can't wait till I turn 40 and we can do it on this podcast and
I
have just a great time.
I don't think I'll make it to 40, but I am making it to 30.
You won't. You're going to make it to 30.
Yes.
I'm
going
to make it to 35 soon.
Anyway.
In any case. So Dobby's there.
He's so excited.
And then Winky, as you know, is Mr. Crouch's former elf.
He brought her along because she also needed a job. Because like, it's a thing that like once you're out from a family, it's hard for free elves to find work.
Especially
if they're asking for wages.
And of course, Hermione's like, you must be so excited, Winky. And Winky's like, no, I'm not excited. I'm a disgraced elf. Bad Winky.
I've disgraced my master and he needs me. She is like, Mr. Crouch needs me and he doesn't have
me. Why does everyone have such a hot nut for Crouch? Percy does.
Percy, it's because he's his boss and he's a kiss ass.
And Winky's like, and then she spills the beans, the fucking big old beans. And we're not talking beans you get at Hogwarts or Hogsmeade. Sorry,
we're indigestion. We're not talking birdie bots. Okay?
We're not talking birdie bot beans. We are talking big, juicy, gossipy, the tea. She dropped, the tea.
Oh, because she doesn't realize that Crouch and Bagman are supposed to be at the school. And she's like, my master's here because they are there for the international, mm-hmm. for what's going on, the Triwizard mm-hmm. tournament. And they she's say, like, yes, also Ludo Bagman. And she reveals,
oh, my master, Mr. Crouch, thinks Ludo Bagman is a bad wizard.
A very bad wizard.
A very bad wizard.
He's a bad, bad wizard. Now, let me ask you this, Nicole. You hear that. What are your thoughts at this point? Because we know you've been suspicious of both Crouch and Bagman. What does that say
when
to you?
So before she said that, I got to be honest. I was like, Ludo Bagman's a good guy. Crouch is the bad guy. But when she said that, elves have no reason to lie unless her body's being taken over.
Well, but also, go ahead.
Elves have no reason to lie. And then after she said it, didn't she scold herself again?
Yes. She's like I shouldn't have said that. I'm bad Winky.
Bad Winky. Yeah.
But also she's repeating what her master has said, yeah. Which to me almost feels like if a young kid has an opinion on politics mm-hmm. or religion, it's mm-hmm. like, you don't know anything. You're repeating whatever your parents said.
What you hear at home. Totally.
And if your parents are Republican, you think Democrats are idiots.
Perfectly said. That's exactly what it is.
So who knows?
So wait, by the way, is Winky a girl?
Winky is a lady. Winky's I think lady. That was established.
I can't remember.
She is. And also here, by the way, because Dobby's wearing this mess of clothes and Winky's in a dress. So maybe she's not a girl. Maybe she's a fucking male born.
Maybe she's a trans elf.
That wants to wear, I think they established she's a woman earlier on though. But
anywho,
who gives a fuck? She's in a very put together outfit.
So they find this out, which is an interesting little nugget.
She's not taking care of herself. Important.
Oh yeah. She's not taking care of herself because she doesn't feel worthy of being, of taking care of. So
that's an interesting nugget.
Harry, Ron, and Hermione are all like, weird.
Because we also have the, you know, we're on high alert because of this fucking Harry Potter goblet situation. Everyone's a suspect.
I am thinking, maybe Bagman is trying to play the friend.
Oh, as like a close, cover?
Trying to get close to them.
Oh yeah, because he already
like the cool guy, but he's
with
really,
the dragon. He was like, "Do you want any advice?"
Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to give any advice.
Maybe. I mean, there's one or two.
And then
ways.
Later in the next few chapters. Before Harry, when it comes to the second task, Bagman's like, do you want some help? And Harry's like, no.
And we'll get to that as well. But it's like, that's a good theory. It's one of two things that like, either he is the friend. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. Either he is the friend or he's playing the friend.
Yeah.
Because it could go either way that like Crouch is a good guy and he doesn't like Bagman. Or Crouch is a bad guy and Bagman gets in the way of his bad stuff. We don't know yet. All we know is Crouch is not even at the school because he's fucking sick.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's continue on in this chapter.
Well, we're done with this chapter.
Oh my God, that's it?
See you in the next chapter.
Oh my God, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's JMS, and I want to tell you about a super amazing badass clothing website I have discovered. JadaLabour.com, JadaLebour.com. Listen, this woman is based in New York. She makes very unique and handmade pieces, accessories, clothing. She will custom make them to your size. And if you know me, you know I like bright, I like shiny, I like glittery. You go check out her website and you will see why I am obsessed. Her designs range from very dark, goth kind of looks to very bright, colorful, bubbly. It's kind of something for everybody. So whether you're actually going out or you're trapped at home like some of us and you just want to dress up to get yourself feeling good, feeling fun, feeling sexy, they have something for everybody. Go on over to JadaLabour.com and check her out and tag me at JMS Comedy in the photos of your awesome outfits.
Chapter 21.
The unexpected task. By the way, when I read this heading, I was like, oh, what? They're going to pop? I thought it was only three tasks.
You thought there was going to be
I thought they were going to pop a task.
I feel like that's why she made it that call. I mean, this is quite a task, but it's not. And it is related to the Triwizard Tournament, but it's not a champion. Well, a champion task.
So this is something that I almost had a spoiler about this. This chapter starts off with them all learning about the Yule Ball.
It sure sounded like...
No. Just relax. The Yule Ball.
Yes, the Yule Ball.
There was a recipe of some kind. Remember, I was like...
Yes, it was a pumpkin muffin.
It was a recipe. Anyway, so I was like, we should do these muffins. It said they're perfect for the Yule Ball.
I said it
might be a spoiler, and I started reading it, and I said Yule Ball.
And I was like, close that.
Yeah. She was like, stop.
Stop reading that.
No more. Now I found out what the Yule Ball is. So they kicks off, they find out what the Yule Ball
they're
is.
They're in Transfiguration class and it's like
Professor McGonagall. Professor McGonagall's like, yep.
It's a Yule tradition.
Yule Ball's happening. It's a tradition. Kicks off the Triwizard Tournament. All the Triwizard champions dance first.
Yeah. So
and they need dates.
Okay. Everyone is reeling because it's a fucking school dance. That's exciting and nerve wracking. I don't know if you remember, but like once I hit middle school,
was fucking horrified.
Oh my God. When I was like, school dances?
I remember.
And did I have a date in middle school? No. I had a group of weird friends and we danced in a circle. And our friend Patrick, who at that time was adamant that he wasn't gay, would get a circle around him doing full Britney Spears dances. And we were like, he's the god of this dance.
And he's not gay at all.
And he's not gay. He's dating Genevieve. And now he's gay. And God bless him.
God bless him. My dances were, nobody had dates. And then my first dance was in sixth grade, I think. Yeah, sixth grade. I danced with Rocky Lala. We were really close and I felt him get a boner.
Did you have the rule of... We had to have our arms out.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
Arms on hip. There was like, they would come around and like separate
they
you.
They didn't do that for us. No. Where were you? That was in Alaska?
Alaska. Golden View Middle School, which was the rich middle school, which I was for some reason just on the cusp of the zone for. And I was like, I don't belong at this school.
How was that?
Oh, the dances are just being at a rich middle school.
Being at a rich middle school.
Terrible. Middle schools are bullying enough.
Yeah, and then you got bullied for being poor.
Yeah, everyone had a North Face and Doc Martens and... One time I was wearing shoes and a kid said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever. I was like, I mean, I made fun of him immediately, but there's a thrift store, which is, it's a chain, but it's not super popular. It's called Value Village. And I was wearing, you know, poor people's shoes.
Uh-huh.
And I have small feet. So someone's like, where'd you get your shoes? Baby Gap. And he's like, more like Baby Value Village. And I was like, that's stupid. That's not a place. Ha ha ha, they're a thrift store shoe.
What a fucking shithead.
Anyway, we ended up becoming friends years later.
What's the industry in Alaska? Like, what do all these rich kids, what money are they coming from? Oh, it's all oil money. Oh, so it's crazy rich then.
Yeah, no, the school is in an area of town called Hillside, which I think if you live anywhere else, it's like, the Hillside kids. Like, it's Hillside.
Yeah.
I was on the Hillside, but it was because my mom had moved us in with, at the time, I don't think they were married, who became my stepdad. Oh, they got married while I was in middle school. Moved into his house, which was his mother's house. And I was like, we're moving in with a guy who lives in his mother's house.
Oh.
And his mom was just not, she was...
Was she there?
No. I mean, she came to visit and stayed in long chunks, but she was in Australia because, God bless my grandmother, she was at the forefront of online dating and met more than one husband on AOL.
Wow.
She's a... fucking goddamn champion.
You need to have her on your other podcast.
I want to have her on my other podcast. That's a good idea. Now with Zoom, it's doable.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of this?
Here I am. I'm booking people now for Jessica Michelle's other podcast.
Not only has she had like 7 husbands, 2 of which came from Australia. So she's just like, fucking.
You should ask Miriam Cohen to reach out to her.
When they get done, I will ask my podcast booker, Miriam Cohen / publicist, to reach out to my grandmother, who also was the first woman and first black woman to be a homicide detective at the Anchorage Police Department. She is.
That is fascinating. Yeah, you need to be talking to this bitch.
Yeah, I got to get her before she, you know, pulls the old Avada Kedavra on us. Anyway,
Kedavra.
People are excited. But yeah, as you said,
everybody's freaking out.
McGonagall has pulled Harry aside. And
she's
him,
like, you need to find a date. You're going to be dancing first. It's one of the things. It happens.
And he tries Harry's to be like, out. I don't dance. And she's like, you're going to dance. And he's like, I don't dance. And she's like, you will dance.
And Harry's like,
do not embarrass Gryffindor.
Not only do I not know how to dance, I've never asked a girl out. I'm a little pussy bitch.
This is terrifying. But also, it's interesting because obviously this was written by an older woman. So it's her female perspective of what a boy goes through. And she obviously has a lot of issues understanding genders. But we're kind of getting a look at the guy's side of the courting process.
Yeah.
Of like, because as women, it's just like, why won't he fucking ask me out? And if you're not someone who's ever, as
really
a
quick
woman,
though, really quick though, you didn't know that this is what it was like for boys too? This is
your. No, I think a lot of people discount. If a woman has never asked someone out or been the person asking, I think a lot of women discount how fucking terrifying it is to ask somebody on a date.
Yeah.
Because you are walking into a possible rejection.
Yeah.
And that is so scary.
Yeah. I have asked so many people and been rejected so many times that at this point, it's just funny to me.
You're an asker?
Yeah, I'm an asker.
Okay, wait. This is fun.
Do you want to see? You want to see the last time I asked somebody?
I want to know what it sounds like. Oh, you text people? Ah, you do the thing that every woman would roll their eyes at. Oh, he asked me out via text. I'll say this while you're scrolling your phone on a podcast. Our thing couldn't be opened. I know you're doing it.
I wrote this on March 11th to Sean Kerrigan. You still got a girlfriend? And he wrote back, yes, sorry, LOL.
Oh, that's not the same as asking someone out.
I mean, I'm like, what am I going?
That's going, if I continue to text you, am I wrecking your home?
I didn't even write him back after that. That was the end
of
it.
That's like a thirsty dude thing. Oh, I'd be pissed if a guy was like, didn't say anything to me, but then was like, still got a boyfriend. It's like, well, you can't be my friend.
I mean, I'm still friends with him, but you know, I don't want to let him throw one in.
I thought you were going to read a text of you literally asking someone out on a date. Have you done that? Or just go, you seeing anyone? Cause I'm not either.
No, I'm usually just like, hey, want a bang.
Yeah. Oh, is that all you want? Let me ask you. Okay. We're taking a deep turn in this podcast.
Yeah.
Is what you want just someone to fuck you?
I think with Sean. Yeah. I don't think I could date Sean.
I mean, no, you couldn't date Sean. He has a girlfriend.
Yeah. But like, I couldn't date Sean. He's not nerdy enough. He's also way too hot.
What does that mean? You can't date a hot person?
He's so hot. Oh.
Why could you not date a super hot guy?
I don't want to date a super hot guy. Why? I don't want a guy who I'm like, literally everyone's looking around the room at you and you're just, I also feel like hot guys don't have as good of personalities as not hot guys.
Like a stigma.
I want to dry hump your fucking brain.
I mean, I think that's debatable given your recent dating history, but that's my opinion.
Let's continue. So
roasted.
So
wait, I want
to. We have to talk about Harry Potter right now.
I don't think men get enough credit for how embarrassing it is.
You know what? You get credit. All right. It's fucking hard. You guys are doing your best.
Look, I'm going to say this and you can belittle me all you want.
You're already little.
Yes, don't belittle me. I can't be littled any more than I already am. I'm a dwarf.
I've belittled you.
Even when I don't want to date the guy who asked me out, I always appreciate when a man asks me out, I always go, oh my gosh, thank you so much for asking.
Oh, totally. I mean, usually You know, for example, Mitch Burrow. I mean, he asked me out 10 million times.
Just gotta throw people under the bus.
Oh,
we're naming names.
Just, these are all comics. They're all public figures. It's okay. Mitch
came up to bat,
struck out, and just keeps going back to bat.
Well, also, that's what every romantic comedy, every grandparent story is like. Yeah, a relentless man just wore a woman down till she's
stalked me.
Shut up, stalked I'll marry me. You.
There's stalking was courtship.
But people, I think there's a weird conversation around it because I see multiple women, by the way, and friends of mine and people with big followings who will shame men for asking them out because it's not a man they want. It's like, oh, you think you have a chance with me?
Oh yeah, that's ridiculous.
And then it's like, sorry, someone who is thinking about asking you out sees that and goes, I don't want to be shamed. Like,
yeah.
I am not going to ask you out.
Yeah, it's terrifying then.
And then those same women will go, I don't know why nobody dates me. And it's like, you can't be like, the audacity of this man to think he's worth my time. Because every human is a little insecure. So another man who maybe is attracted to you sees that and go, well, why am I worth your time?
Oh, baby.
Don't rub my back. I have someone.
Oh, baby. Just going to rub my own back.
Anyways, back to Harry Potter.
So Harry, of course, ba-ding, it's showtime.
That's, I mean, the idea. It's
showtime. Get it?
The idea.
Showtime.
Oh, yeah. It's showtime. I got you.
But so he's for sure going to ask her. By the way, a Daily Prophet article came out. Hagrid wasn't in it. He's relieved. Fred and George, for some reason, want to borrow Pigwidgeon to send something, but Pigwidgeon is there.
Not available.
And they're not going to say who they want this letter to go to.
And they also say, you guys better fucking ask someone out before it's too late.
So Harry and Ron are like, oh shit, we got to ask somebody. We got to get a hot girl before there's no hot girls left.
And which is very upsetting to Hermione. It's like, that's all a hot girl. That's all you care about. Yeah. She could be the worst person in the world. But yeah. As long as
she could
hot,
have absolutely nothing to say. She could be mumbling. And
she could
be
a
like,
bitch.
Wow. You're gorgeous.
To which Ron responds. Yeah, no, that is like, that's what I want. That's
yeah. Because that is what it's really like in the world.
We get a real peek at the brain of a man where they go, as long as she looks good on my shoulder. And people go, wow, look, you got a hot one.
Nice arm candy. Arm candy.
Ugh.
Arm candy. You know what I look like on somebody's arm? A handcuff.
I look like an old...
A ball and chain.
You know what I look like? A Werther's original that has come unwrapped in a
purse.
Oh, you
are a butterscotch disc.
But it's just covered in like lint.
Oh, so much lint. And maybe some just crumbs.
Yeah, it's just an old person's candy that's escaped the wrapper.
Yes. And it's just chipped up.
Little chunks missing. It's all twisted.
Uh-huh.
My little...
Rinse it off in some water, though, and it's as good as old.
Yeah, it still tastes like butterscotch, kind of, and like some type of vinegar for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
But that pisses Hermione
off. So Hermione's annoyed, as she should be. Yeah. So finally Harry gets up the nerve to ask Cho.
And she's already gone.
And she's already gone. And who called it? Who knew it?
Let me tell you this, guys. We do live readings of every chapter, and throughout this entire chapter, I was convinced that Nicole has cheated and read ahead because she was calling a lot of things that happened. She said Cho was going to already be going with Cedric Diggory.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that? If you didn't cheat, what was your logic? You cheated.
I would tell you if I cheated.
Yeah. It says every cheater.
I figured once I found out, like, the two main females in Harry's life are Cho and Hermione.
In his life, but she's like...
Cho and Hermione. Those are the only two potential love interests I've seen at this point. Maybe Ginny.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to happen in the later books. She's not ready for love. So it's like Cho was... It was either Cho or Hermione who were going to be going with Cedric. And then I didn't put the crumb one together until... When they said Hermione had a date.
That'll come in a second.
Yeah.
So you were like, oh... He's going to ask Cho. Did you think at first he was going to go with Cho?
Cedric?
No.
Hermione.
Potter.
I thought Potter was going to go with Cho. But as soon as she said, I was like, Cedric.
You just knew.
Yeah.
I just knew. She's obviously a very pretty girl.
Yeah.
She's in the Quidditch.
Yeah. She's in the Quidditch world. He's a hot guy. He's a star. It had to be someone that would annoy him.
Yeah.
And so it was either Malfoy, which no one would go with Malfoy.
No.
It had to be Malfoy or
Cedric Diggory.
Yeah.
Now, when you hear Cho's going with Cedric Diggory,
mm-hmm.
in the book, trying not to know what you now know, who did you immediately go, well, Harry's going to go with this person? Who were you thinking?
I was thinking Ginny or Hermione.
Okay. So he's, you know, low-key pissed at Cedric for existing mm-hmm. at this point. He's like, oh, we were friends. I was starting to like him, yeah. which is what everyone
does. I
helped
him.
Which sucks. Why do we all do that? Why do we go like, oh, you're dating a person I had a crush on that nobody knew about? Well, now I hate you. And it's like, yeah, it's not
nobody
that
knew.
Person's fault.
Yeah. But then you should have fucking told someone.
It's also, even if you did like them, it's not
She's
the
not
person,
your fucking property.
Yeah, it's not her. It's not his fault that she didn't want to be with you if that were the case.
And maybe she did want to go with you, but you were too fucking slow, Harry.
You were so slow.
Because you were like, I'm just one of the hottest girls in school.
Which is that you're older than him. Cedric's older than both of
them. He was a little nervous.
Cedric's a lot bigger. And honestly, I get it.
I mean, tall.
Yeah.
Does it for me every time.
So, of course, he's dejected. He goes back to the common room.
Goes back to the common room. Ron, also in a similar situation, because he asked Fleur Delacour, who said, Nunca.
She just ignored him. He also was, you know, I don't know what came over me. And Harry comforts him by being like, dude, she's actually a Vila. So,
yeah.
You are not the only one to make
Yeah, you ass. Are under the influence of...
her magical...
Vagina.
The V. The power of the V.
Power of the V.
Vila.
She's very powerful. So...
So then...
Hermione comes in.
Well, Ginny also told...
Ginny told Ron and Harry that Neville asked Hermione, but Hermione said she had a date. And the boys start laughing because they're like, that's so funny.
And they're
she
like...
probably made up that she had a date just so she didn't have to go with Neville.
And Ginny's like, Neville's a very nice guy. Don't be rude to Neville.
Come to find out, Ginny's going with Neville.
It's because Ginny's going with Neville.
So Hermione comes in and...
Ron just goes, Neville's right. You are a girl. You should go with one of us.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I already have a date. Too bad it took you guys 3 years to figure out that I'm actually a girl. And they're like, who are you going with? Oh, they didn't ask who she was going with.
They just were like, you're lying. And
she's like, no, I have a date.
No, I'm not.
Bye.
And that's when Ron had also been like, Ginny, you can go with Harry. Because Harry needs a date. And
then
Ginny's
like, nah, I'm going with Neville. Toodles. So then...
Which makes sense because Ginny's a third year and this is fourth years and up unless you get asked.
Yeah.
So she's like a fourth year asked. It's what anyone would do.
Yeah.
Who wants to go to the...
Yeah.
You would... That, I mean, you're lying if you're saying, I'm a sophomore and I can't go to junior prom unless a junior or senior asks me.
Yeah.
You're saying yes to the first person who asks you.
Yeah.
Because you want to fucking go.
Totally.
Like my friend did. Who was going to do my hair for junior prom, and she was a year below me, and then she ditched me because she got asked and she needed to do her own hair.
Ooh, it just got shady in
Kelsey!
Here.
Kelsey!
It just got shady in here!
It's fine. I wore...
Ooh, it's dark!
I literally
I
wore...
I can't see!
I wore a towel to the prom. So, who cares?
So, Harry approaches Parvati Patel, and he's like, hey, we should do this. Parvati's like, cool. He's like, what about your sister? Can Padma go with...
Well, originally he goes like, how about you and Lavender go with me and Ron? But Lavender's already going with Seamus Finnegan, because Seamus Finnegan is an Irish man, and he probably got drunk and asked her immediately.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Or he just fucking
got
had balls.
On the butterbeer.
And that's, Parvati's like, well, Lavender's already going, but maybe my twin sister, who's in Ravenclaw. Hello, Padma.
Ravi. Ravi Claw. Ravi Claw.
It's like, maybe I could get her to go with Ron. So they have dates.
Anyhow, so that's the end of the chapter. And next up is the actual fucking ball. So we'll
be right back.
See you soon.
All right, we're back.
Chapter 23, the Yule Ball.
Oh my God, it's here. It's here.
It's here. I finally get to see that I was right about Crum and Hermione.
I mean, you did call it. You called it.
I called it.
Yeah.
And you're upset about it. And that's okay. You'll get over it.
I'm not upset about it.
Yeah, you are.
No,
you're upset about it.
Floored by how excited you are that you were right about something. Like, this is your magnum opus.
That's, what do you think I have right now?
Like, Nicole doesn't
I'm locked in a goddamn apartment with you. All the time.
All I have is being right.
That's all I have. You have Andy. I have being right.
I love that you're acting like that this is a quarantine thing. That you don't get just as excited in normal life.
No. I'm even more excited right now because it's quarantine.
Yeah?
In regular life, I would be excited for sure.
Don't let her lie to you guys. She is this excited. Any chance Nicole has to go, I was right, especially if someone was wrong. Oh. Oh.
It's not that you were wrong. You just underestimated me.
I didn't underestimate
you. And I don't
you.
Like being underestimated.
I just called you a liar. It's different. I underestimated.
I don't think you're incompetent. I think you literally could never do it.
It's just out of your
reach. It's not that
abilities.
You would even fail. You wouldn't even try.
God bless America.
Anyhow,
so Christmas, because that's when the Yule Ball takes place.
And everybody's, you know, a flutter. Yeah. Hermione, Ron is still trying to figure out who Hermione is going with, but she won't tell him.
Her. She's not giving in, which I thought was interesting. I wonder why, just because she's like, he doesn't deserve to know. He'll make fun of her. Whatever.
I mean, I think she knows that it's going to be
a big deal.
A big deal.
You think she's like, fuck you. You should have noticed I was a woman. Everyone in this goddamn house. Now I'm going with someone way cooler than all of you.
Yeah. All of you underestimated me. All of you.
Every single person in this entire school.
Now I'm going to show up at the Yule Ball and just drop a clit on the dance floor.
That's right, bitch.
Okay so Pigwidgeon shows up, has the letter back from Sirius. He's like, congratulations on winning, but just stay out of trouble.
Constant vigilance. He's like,
constant
keep an eye
vigilance.
Out. He's got moody vibes where he's just like, you just need to keep your eyes peeled, especially on certain people that we've discussed.
Yeah.
Kukarov.
Harry should be working on his second task, but he's not. He's not. Like, I got time. I got plenty of time.
Plenty
it's
of
so
time.
Far off. Who cares? And then Christmas morning, Harry wakes up
to something on his chest.
It's staring over him.
Fucking Dobby.
Dobby.
Just come on, Dobby. But you know, he startles awake like, oh fuck. And Dobby's like, sirs, you said I could come visit you sometimes.
That is
sirs.
A terrible way to get woken up with something that looks like my clit.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't want to.
That's why nobody eats me out in the morning.
God, I wouldn't want to wake up next to that thing. Oh, what a horror.
Well, Dobby, my clit, brought Harry
a gift.
A gift.
And Harry panics when he finds out Dobby's brought him a gift.
Because he didn't get Dobby a gift.
Which is a classic situation where you're like, oh, you got me something? Now I'm obligated to give you something. Let me pretend I got you something. And he hands Dobby a pair of socks, which
you
Dobby
socks.
Criticizes because he's like, Harry, they messed up. These match.
Because Dobby thinks socks aren't supposed to match.
Because
so
Dobby's
then Harry, quick thinking,
Harry
grabs another pair of socks.
That is not what happened. Ron throws a pair of socks in.
Oh, I thought Harry did it.
Nope,
sorry.
Ron's like, well, just add these. You can mix and match however you like. Harry's not that quick of a thinker all the time.
All right, well.
And then, come to find
guess
out,
Ron
Dobby,
did some heavy lifting this time.
For once in his fucking life.
And then we come to find out that Dobby made him a Christmas present. He knit him these cute little booties.
He actually, like, got him socks.
Yep.
And he spends all of his money on clothes. His 1 gallon a week, which I don't think we covered, by the way, that he gets 1 gallon a week and 10 days off a year, which Hermione in the chapter about elves had been like, that doesn't seem like a lot. And he's like, oh, Dumbledore offered me 10 galleons a week and weekends off. But that's just too much. I love to work.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of a fuck you to Hermione. But anyway.
I just wonder, is Hermione ever going to change her position on this, even though she's seen that some elves like it and some don't?
Only time will tell. Okay. Well, because Dobby didn't even, it's like, he likes being quote free, but he doesn't like having nothing to do. And yeah, it goes back to that talk about like, what is freedom really if you don't have a way to provide for yourself? Anywho.
So everybody's getting ready for the ball. Ron has to wear his robe, which you may or may not remember has like lace doilies on it.
It's like a baby
it's
doll.
It's a hand-me-down, hand-me-down, hand-me-down.
Secondhand fucking. So he's trying
to. It's like 16th hand.
He's trying to, like, magic off the doily shit. And, like,
it just looks tattered.
Yeah.
It just looks poor.
Which it is.
And Parvati and Padma show up. They look gorgeous.
They're fucking stunning.
So they're there. They're at the ball. Fleur Delacour arrives with Roger Davies,
who's
the Ravenclaw Quidditch champion.
Yeah. So it's like, you never had a chance, Ron.
And then Victor is accompanied by a beautiful girl in blue.
So gorgeous. So flawless.
And they didn't know who she was.
Ron walked right past her.
And Cedric and Cho show up together, of course.
Of course.
And then this beautiful girl, Harry finally catches a glimpse of her.
And realizes.
The sees part. He sees her through the crowd. She turns around.
And it's Hermione. Hermione is hot. Her hair is, her bushy hair is now sleek. She's looking good.
Her tufuses be smaller because when she went to the infirmary, she got her teeth reduced.
Yeah. Oh, she went.
Remember when they, Harry and Malfoy were, they cursed each other and their curses hit each other and then they deflected and
she
Hermione's
teeth
huge. So when she went to Madame Pomfrey, she was like, just take a little more.
She just, well, Madame Pomfrey just went like, just tell me to stop when they're regular, because she was reducing them, and she just let it go a little bit more, because as we know, she sort of had buckish teeth. So she got...
I'm curious to see how this will go down in the movie.
I am as well. And it's a touchy subject for her, because she's like, my parents never wanted me to magic my teeth because they're dentists. And it's like, well, your parents are dentists. Why don't they fucking do something about your teeth?
Yeah. Why didn't they reduce your teeth?
Or they're just like, big teeth are fine. They're better for chewing. Suck it up. Or my mom, when I was poor, who was like, who cares if you have crooked teeth? It builds character. And it's like, just say you can't afford braces.
Did you get braces? Yeah, you have braces.
Yeah, I think my mom fucking lost
your
her
your teeth
house
are perfect.
For my braces, but.
Your teeth are impressive. Mm. So Hermione looks stunning. Everyone at the ball is like, who's that lady? Who's that lady?
Like, no one has a fucking negative word to say about her.
Yeah,
because
no.
She's
even fucking Malfoy
had nothing
find
to say.
Insult.
He was like,
he's
blown
just
away.
Sitting there with his dick in his hand, that little prick.
And by the way, he comes with Pansy Parkinson, who is a fucking gross Slytherin
troll.
Girl. Who looks like a fucking cupcake.
And at the head of the table where all the judges are.
Yeah, we see Ludo Bagman.
Ludo Bagman's there, and Crouch is not there, and in his place is
Percy
Weasley. So you're so fucking annoying, Weatherby.
Weatherby. Yes.
Your boss doesn't know your name.
So we mentioned it before that Crouch was sick, but this is actually where we found out. So, oops.
Yeah. So, Mr. Crouch is ill, so Percy had to be there.
And Percy's just like, oh, you know, he's just taking some time off. He's very stressed out, which is what I said about how he looked ill before. And you think it's dark magic that he was looking sick mm-hmm. or whatever. But now knowing, you know, he doesn't have his winky. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. he's just fucking stressed out and has mm-hmm. no one to care for his home. Does
or
he have a
maybe
wife?
Maybe he's
know.
Off looking for... a missing witch.
Bertha Jorkins. Well, I don't think that would make him evil.
No, but maybe that's what he's doing.
But also, isn't that somebody else's job? Do you think...
I don't know. Maybe he's taking matters into his own hands. You know what? I don't know the ins and outs of the wizarding world
yet. I feel
yet.
Like if he was taking matters into his own hands in this situation, his own hands would be sending Percy to look for Bertha Jorkins.
Yeah. Weatherby.
Weatherby,
go look for Bertha Jorkins.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Percy's so fucking smug. He's like, I've gotten a promotion to his personal assistant. And it's like, what
you're
were
like,
you
wait,
before?
You were his errand boy? You're his errand boy. You go
bitch.
And pick up his laundry.
You're bragging about being the bitch of a man who's dying.
Yeah. Good for you, boy.
Good. Great.
So Victor chats with Hermione about Durmstrang.
Mm. And he's very sweet. It seems very cute. He's
and
just
Fleur is there. Talking about how it's not, this place is nothing compared to the Beauxbatons.
Oh, Beauxbatons is so much nicer. Oh, we would never have this. These decorations
Boutin.
Are nothing. And the decorations
Boutin.
Are fucking gorgeous.
Boutin.
Just, ugh, mailed. Ugh.
So after dinner, the Weird Sisters.
That's the band. That's the hip-hop popular band.
And they start playing, and then Parvati and Harry have to do their dance.
Their dance. So it's the big...
It's the big dance. It's
yeah.
the thing.
It's the opening dance that all the champions are doing. Parvati's essentially leading Harry around the floor because...
Mm-hmm. Harry doesn't know how to dance.
Dancer, but like, thank God. Whatever. It's great. They're getting through it.
They get through the song. Harry's like, we're going to go sit down.
Yeah, I'm done.
And Parvati is not happy.
No.
And Ron is also not happy because Ron keeps looking over at Crumb with Hermione and he's like, how dare she...
He's like,
with her because he's trying to get school secrets.
Yeah, which he says later. He says none of those things.
Oh,
he just
sorry.
Stares.
Okay.
But he seems to be really. Ron is.
She's
hung up
he said
on
she the, was fraternizing with the enemy.
Yes, later.
No, right here.
No? I thought it was in the next chapter. I
oh,
stand
by the way,
corrected.
Parvati and Padma are done with Harry and Ron.
Oh, yeah, no.
At this point,
sitting,
they're like, you two are fucking miserable.
After sitting through deuces. A couple of. Songs with them not dancing, they're like, all right, fuck
we're gonna,
you.
We're gonna go, bye.
Yeah, they go off and dance with some Beauxbatons boys. And they're yeah. like, because I mean, they got all dressed up. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Dance with me. I'm pretty.
Yeah. And of course, Harry just
doesn't care.
Doesn't care. And Ron is a miserable cunt who wants to suck Victor's dick.
Who's he jealous of at this point? Is it Hermione? Is it Victor? We don't know.
We don't know.
He probably would like to be there with Victor, honestly.
I mean, honestly, I think he would like to get spit roasted by the two of them.
He's just. Has it out. He's staring with deep vengeance at them the entire, just, oh, there they are. Just miserable. Miserable.
Onward we go. So the seat next to Harry is open. Percy sits down in it.
Oh.
I can't stand Percy. Anytime he pops up in a scene, I'm like, when is this scene over? Like, I need it to end now.
He is insufferable.
He's an insufferable character.
He
truly
just,
insufferable.
How do people like that just continue to exist? Like, how do you not a little bit become easier to deal with?
Yeah, not at all.
Don't you get lonely being a fucking piece of shit that no one wants to be around?
Well, he's got Crouch. How can he be lonely when he's with the greatest boss in the world?
He's with an old man named Crouch, who he just loves.
So Percy and Fred have accosted Ludo Bagman as well.
Oh, Percy and Fred.
I mean, Fred and George have accosted Ludo Bagman, and Percy gets annoyed.
Yeah, well, because Ludo Bagman had expressed earlier on he really likes their fake wand. So obviously they're like, oh, this is a guy with some power. We need to, like, nurse
and he's into
thing.
Our practical jokes.
Absolutely. We should nurse. And, of course, yeah, Percy's so like, oh, were they bothering you? I'm so sorry.
And at this point, we're about to reach our breaking point with Percy. We can't stand him. And then it turns out Ron and Harry can't either. So they're like, we're going.
We're going.
So they leave. They go for a walk. They go into the garden.
It's
and
gorgeous.
They overhear Professor Snape and Professor Karkaroff talking.
Yeah.
And Karkaroff is worried about something because has been getting clearer and clearer for months.
Yeah. And so, and he's referring to Snape on a first name basis. They're having this conversation about, like, it seems like this is what's happening. It's an ominous conversation of, like, something is up. It's been up for a while. Haven't you noticed?
And Snape says something to the effect of, it doesn't matter. I'm staying at Hogwarts.
Yeah. So it's a sort of like Karkaroff's trying to leave Hogwarts. He's trying to convince Snape to get out of Hogwarts for some reason. It's very unclear, but suspicious.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's couples all over making out in the bushes.
Yeah.
We go past, Snape blows up a bush that two people are in and they like run off.
Oh.
And fucking.
I hope we get to see that in a movie.
That'd be funny. It's just, it's such a funny, like, horny teen thing.
Yeah.
And
this is the horny teen portion of the book.
Oh, this is far from the.
And speaking. What?
I mean, there's so much more horny teen portions of this book. It's a series. Oh, of this book? I don't know. Probably, yeah, of this book. I'm in
of this series. Ooh, good, good, good.
Fleur and Roger are in some bush. And speaking of horny, they walk around the corner toward the lake and they happen upon Hagrid.
Oh, Hagrid.
A Maxime.
A Maxine. And they're having a conversation too.
And it's romantic and Harry and Ron are like, oh God, we don't want to be a part of this. It's very like, oh, I've never felt this way and
there is about to be some big person love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they hear Hagrid being like, so who was it? Your mom?
I've never met someone who's also one
who's
of
also,
them.
And it's like he keeps insinuating something.
Which side did you get it from?
And we can't figure it out. I literally can't figure it out. I'm like, what the fuck is he insinuating?
It's so funny because I forgot that this wasn't already knowledge in the book because I just remember it from previous time, from, you know, reading this before. That I was like, I mean, clearly he's about to tell her. He's talking about being a giant. But it's funny that you were like,
what is he going to tell her?
About?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and he goes, and you know, my mom was a giant and she left and, as you know, we're not very nurturing. And he just, vulnerably shares this story about being half giant.
Yeah, and she's like, what are you getting at?
Maxine,
he's like, you're not half giant?
Is fucking
she is, I am a rat. I have never been so insulted with an F giant.
F giant. Oh, mon Dieu. I've never heard something.
I have big bones.
I am big bones. They are le bone grand.
How do you say bone?
Bone. I don't know.
Bun?
You should know. You're the French doctor. Here's the thing. I get it. I get why she's pissed. Somewhere out there is a whole group of fat women who have been asked when they're due.
It's unfortunate.
That's a fucking nightmare.
I can't imagine.
Can you imagine being a human who's just kind of tall and someone literally is like, so, you know, my mom was half giant. Which parent was it for you? And you're like, I'm just tall. I'm just a big, especially as a woman. We have so much pressure to be these like petite, delicate creatures. But also she's so fucking big. Does she not know or is she lying?
She's got to be lying. First of all, she has to be half giant. There's no other reason she would be that big.
Maybe she has a tumor on her pituitary gland?
Or everybody, you know, maybe she got one of those gigantic spells.
Yeah. Oh, she, doused herself in Skele-Gro and it was irreversible.
Yeah. Anywho, so she busts off.
Yeah, she's fucking pissed. That's a bummer. You just saw your friend get like.
And then Harry, since Harry's still relatively new to the wizard world, he's like, what's the big deal about being half giant? And Ron's like, dude, giants don't have a good reputation at all.
So Harry's just like, who cares? And apparently giants are known to be pretty fucking vicious. And a lot of them have, that's why most of them have died out or been,
they've been around since dinosaurs.
They have an unfair reputation.
Yeah. So the ball ends. Everybody's leaving. Parvati and Padma are already like way the fuck out. And then Cedric sees Harry and is like, yo, Harry, come here.
Hey, I've got to tell you something. As he's saying goodbye, or like he leaves Cho at the bottom of the stairs to run up to catch to Harry. And in this moment, he's like, I've got to. And of course, Harry, who's already pissed that Cho and Cedric is like, what the fuck does this guy want? You know, mm-hmm. But Cedric's like, I owe you.
Here's a clue for the golden egg. Open it up when you're in a bathtub.
Yeah. Which immediately my brain goes like, I never thought about their bathing situation.
Communal bathtubs? Ew.
It sounds like maybe they only have a prefect bathtub.
Oh, he did say use the prefect.
You could use the prefect one. And I don't know if that means that that's the only one where bathtubs are. I don't know if it's only one at a time, maybe.
I can't wait to figure out how Cedric found that out. What did Cedric be like? I'm going to take a bath.
Well, somebody.
I need my egg.
Yeah, maybe he's paranoid someone's going to steal it. Maybe somebody else told him a hint and he took that hint.
Yeah, maybe.
There's no way to know. But it sounds like this is a genuine hint.
He's just being a good guy. And Cedric is high on my list of characters.
I think he's a good guy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy. He's trying to return the favor. He's doing the right thing. He's a Hufflepuff, for fuck's sake. He's not a Slytherin.
Yeah, he's a good huffy egg.
But of course, Harry being emo and heartbroken Harry's is like, why would he fucking, is he trying to make me look like a fucking idiot?
So Harry storms off, goes back to the Gryffindor common room. Ron and Hermione are fucking having it out. Screaming. And Hermione's like, you know, the next time there's a ball, just fucking ask me before someone else does. And I'm not your fucking last resort, you fucking eunuch.
And storms out. And then Ron's like, is that what she thought? I was fucking... He's like, oh my God, is that what? She totally missed the point. That's not even what I'm upset about. Because this is where he was like, you're a traitor. And also he says, and this, you had said this, he's just using you to try to get closer to Harry. And she's like, he doesn't ask one thing about Harry. He's like, well, he knows you're smart. He probably wants help with this thing. She's like, I wouldn't do that. I want Harry to win. And it's like, as if you haven't insulted her enough by not noticing she's a woman. Now you're like, the only reason anyone would ask you is to get something.
Oh, by the way, question her loyalty. You're the one who fucking turned on Harry at the beginning of this fucking whole Triwizard tournament. Remember that, bitch, okay?
And you're the one drooling over Victor Krum.
Yeah, you don't give a fuck about Hermione. You want to be sliding on Victor Krum's crumb.
But it basically ends with Ron looking like a fucking idiot and just like, can you even believe she said that? Men and their fucking pride. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
We'll be right back.
Rita Skeeta's Scoop, chapter 24.
Ugh. All right.
Reet Skeets. I hate her. Can't stand her. So when I saw this chapter heading, I was like, either she's going to get some scoop on Harry or some shit's going to go down with Hagrid, because we know she wasn't nosing around with Hagrid for nothing. But I'm just like, what scoop could she possibly have? I thought maybe somewhere in my mind that it could have to do with the whole giant thing, but I was just like, how would she know that?
Yeah. And it also, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like she would maybe try to, I don't know. Cause at first when she, well, no, because when she was first approaching Hagrid, you didn't know that.
No, but when she was like, I want to talk to you for an article.
Yeah. You now think she was trying to get that information? I thought it was a consensus that she was trying to find out more about Harry, because Hagrid had said that. This does not come up in the interview. What she reveals?
Yeah,
this
what
thing
she
is
reveals
not
does.
From,
yeah, I don't know.
Which
I mean,
means
I think
she's probably spying or has an inside person.
Yeah. Anywho, so
they get down. Wait.
Well. First of all, Harry is like still mulling over what Cedric had told him. And he's like, no, this isn't stupid. This is stupid. But Harry's now panicking because February 24th is closer than ever.
Yeah.
And he's like, shit, I got to do something. So he's got that in the back of his mind. They all head off to Care of Magical Creatures. Hagrid's not there. There's a new teacher there.
Named Grubbly Plank. And she's teaching them about unicorns. By the way, Ron and Hermione are still getting along, but it's kind of like an awkward, like, how are you?
They're
you know
like,
what I mean?
They're just two stuck up assholes.
And they're all like, where the fuck is Hagrid? And of course,
Malfoy marches over with a Daily Prophet story by Rita fucking Skeeter.
Yeah.
About
oh
how Hagrid is a danger to the students because he is half giant. What?
So she's got this fucking information. Where did she get it from? And it's whole, this whole scathing article about, oh, Dumbledore, he has always made, you know, risky choices.
Yeah.
And also being like, he's breeding these animals,
yeah,
which is supposed to be done with, you know, with supervision.
With oversight of the...
So now we know where the fucking screws came from. He breeded two different things. But like, it's just this whole, as if Hagrid is a fucking terror.
Yeah. So she's painting this absolutely horrible picture of Hagrid. Hagrid doesn't get in trouble, but Hagrid is like, I'm out of here.
He's devastated. Obviously, this has upset him because there's a new fucking teacher there. They try to knock on his cabin, nothing to be found.
So, oh, I love that she's like, we're going to be doing unicorns today. Unicorns don't like men. It's only women who can go near the unicorn.
It's because,
perfect.
Oh, unicorns are smarter than all of us.
We learned this little bit of information. Well, I learned it. You already knew it. Giants were on the side of Voldemort when Voldemort was around. So they were responsible for Muggle killings.
Yeah, that's the thing is she painted like all giants are dark wizards. But even in the article, it's like we couldn't find a record of his mother in this within the dark things, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, it's classic fucking journalism where they're like, we have no evidence of this, but what if it's this? Stew on that.
Fake news.
Fucking.
Rita Skeeter invented fake news.
Rita Skeeter is fake news.
Bye, bitch.
Bye. Fuck her. Anyway.
Reed Skeets, hate her. But this new teacher, Grubbly Plank, is actually doing a pretty great job.
You know, she's like, filling in where she can.
She's showing about mystical creatures, you know?
Magical creatures.
Magical, anyway. Mystical, you know, whatever.
Marvelish. Magicians.
She's doing a good job. And all three of the kids are like, listen, okay, we'll admit she's doing a good job, but we fucking miss Hagrid. That point, Hermione's like, that's it. I'm going to get Hagrid.
And he's not around.
They go to his cabin. Not around.
We said that.
We go to Hogsmeade. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I fucked it up. I jumped the gun. You wanted to talk more about Grubbly Plank? And no. I wanted to get straight to Hagrid, not
Hagrid's not there. Then there's a Hogsmeade visit. They go to Hogsmeade.
They go into the Three Broomsticks.
And they see Bagman there with gremlins.
Goblins.
Gremlins.
Goblins.
Gremlins.
Oh my God, do you know how offensive that is to call goblins gremlins?
They're gremlin-y.
Oh my God, that is anti-Semitic. Anti-goblematic.
Peach just dragged her ass.
Anti-Semitic's not the right word. Don't offend the goblins. They control the money.
Yeah. Yeah, the goblins are the money people.
You know what's funny is I heard someone having this discussion of like, isn't it a little anti-Semitic that she made goblins? You know, this is a whole thing, but goblins, the people in charge of the money, and you know, like how, because she's implying that Jews look like goblins, and it was like, no, you're having that thought.
Yeah, that's you.
It was just
funny
hearing someone break that
down. That's your anti-Semitic thought.
You're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And now you're...
Yeah. I remember when I heard that. I think
we were talking about it.
Yeah. That was an interesting point. Anywho, so he's chit-chatting.
Goblins do not look happy, by the way. Something's fucking amiss.
Body language, really negative. Really negative body language. Brody would not appreciate.
No.
Just very like
arms crossed, negative.
Bagman sees Harry and the troop and the kids.
Because they've sat like away from them and are kind of like.
And then Bagman goes over and he's like, Harry, so excited to see him. He's like, how's the second task coming? Harry's like, great. And then he's like, do you need any help with it? And Harry's like, no.
Yeah, no, it's a competition. Also, yeah, that would be
cheating.
And he's like, I just want to see Hogwarts win. I'm from Hogwarts. He's like, have you helped Cedric? And he's like, well, no, but I've taken a liking to you. I mean, I saw those fucking the moves you put on that broom and blah, blah, blah.
And Harry's like, well, that's just not fair. I mean, Harry, what a fucking G.
So noble.
Well, I mean.
So honest.
Somebody suck his dick.
I mean, truly. Somebody.
Anywho, and then you want to know who walks in? Fucking Rita Skeeter.
And the
kids make a beeline to her. Just come right at her.
By the way, this is after, by the way, Ludo Bagman has left. Not just left the conversation. He left with the
goblins.
Didn't
he go back? Yeah, he leaves with the goblins.
Because we hear Rita Skeeter come in talking to someone. She's like, what is he doing walking around with those goblins? Which obviously means she's talking about
the Jews.
Ludo Bagman.
Ludo Bagman.
Bagman. Is that Jewish?
No, but what is she doing walking around with them? Like them, the goblins, the Jews.
Yeah, he's like, why is he hanging out with a bunch of fucking goblins?
Yeah, she's like, I thought you, never mind. We're having a miscommunication, but you guys get it, right? Cool, we'll keep going. So
Nicole was trying to make one of her famous Jew jokes as a Jewish woman.
Because I got Jew bits.
Yeah, how many do you have?
Jewy bits. I have a lot.
Yeah.
The whole, I'd say the first 5 minutes of my set is about being Jewish.
Yeah. She's got about 6 million of them. Mm-hmm. That was your joke.
My joke. It's my favorite joke.
I set it up and I stole it from you.
How many more does she have?
No.
6 million. So they immediately come at her. Hermione's hot. She's like, they're all like, why the fuck did you do that to Hagrid? And Hermione's like, you're an ugly, horrible woman. And Hermione's, and Rita's like, silly girl.
Silly girl. And, you know, everyone is like, kind of sketchy. Like, you shouldn't fuck with her, Hermione. She's like, I'm a muggle. She can't do anything to me. What's she going to fucking do? My parents aren't going to, she's not going to read anything my parents will see and embarrass me.
Yeah, she didn't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck about this woman.
She has got nothing to lose.
I love her balls.
And at that point, they're all like, let's get out of here. And Hermione's like, let's go get Hagrid. So she goes to Hagrid's.
And bang on the door.
Smashing like, on the door.
I know you're in there. Open up, Hagrid. We want to see you. You have to stop acting like this. Blah, 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 blah. And then the door opens and of course.
It's Dumbledore.
Yeah, Dumbledore's standing there and she's like.
Madame Marguerite? Or Madame Maxime call him? Dumbledore. So Dumbledore is there.
She's of course taken aback because it's your headmaster. She's like,
I'm bad. Of course Hermione's like, I'm a good student.
We're trying to find Hagrid.
And of course Dumbledore's like, I know you kids. Yes. I know how much you love your Haggy. Come in. And the kids are like, we fucking love you. Come back.
Hagrid's a fucking mess, by the way. He's like.
Just a sniveling, snotting, gross ass mess.
Because it's like, if it wasn't bad enough that he just fucking got shut down by this lady he liked, now
he
now
lost
this.
His job. He feels like he's lost his job.
He feels like
that. Even though Dumbledore's like, no, you still have your job. This he means nothing.
Like, he feels like he's been canceled.
Yeah. Oh, cancel culture was like, it was around for so long.
Unjustly canceled.
Oh, Hagrid. And so the kids are like, we want you to come back. And Dumbledore's like, see, they fucking love you. And I have so many notes from other people who used to be here. Everybody fucking loves you from former students.
He's got letters from people who are parents now that were students that remember Hagrid and they love him. And they're like, you know, we support Hagrid. Please don't get rid of him. Please, you know, we don't believe this bullshit. Yeah.
And even if they did believe it, nobody cares. Everybody knows Hagrid's a good guy. And Hagrid, you know, has this really super close connection to his dad who stayed, you know, even after Dumbledore's mom left or died. Did she leave or die? Dumbledore's mom,
Dumbledore's mom.
I mean, sorry, Hagrid.
Jesus.
Sorry, I'm getting my names. I'm dyslexic.
Hagrid's mom left and he has this big connection to Dumbledore because he tells the kids, Dumbledore's gone. And he tells the kids, you know, Dumbledore took me in after my dad passed away because his dad passed away. Thank God he was never around to see me get expelled. Not that I was ever really good at magic, but he shows them a picture of his dad and Hagrid. It's like a young Hagrid, but he's like 7 feet tall and his dad's just on his shoulder. It's just very cute. And he's just so grateful. And it just expresses Dumbledore's such a good man. And
Hagrid is just like sad, but like just having those emo feels where he's like, I love Dumbledore. I love you guys. Harry, you're going to be champion. You're going to win.
You've got to win for us. How are you doing? How's the egg coming? And Harry, of course, lies. And he's like, I'm almost there. I've almost got it figured out. Which he doesn't, but I don't know.
That's it.
That's kind of it. He does on the walk. They walk back, and Harry does have the thought of maybe I just need to fucking suck it up and try
what Cedric had told me.
And that's where we end this episode. That's where we ended our reading.
I'm excited to see Harry take a bath in the movie.
What are you, a pedophile?
No. Maybe. Will I get canceled? Listen, I can be turned on by Harry because I know what he looks like in real life now.
I'm turned on by Harry as an adult.
Yeah,
that's who I want to see in that bathtub.
Adult Harry, 40-year-old Harry, in the boobles.
Happy birthday to me. Anyway, bye.
Bye.